Today's show is brought to you by Old Friends, New Places. How sweet is that?
I was so excited to be back on the mic, and immediately you dragged me down.
Welcome back.
Into a country music-induced haze.
We're old friends, you and I.
We're back, in low places.
We go back about 6 months. We're old friends, and now we're in a new place.
Wait, we've been podcasting for years. We took a brief hiatus, and you're trying to tell me that we've only been friends for 6 months.
That's my point. Don't call it a comeback. We've been here for years.
Okay, I like that.
It's one of my favorite things to tweet out.
I guess it's better than saying this podcast is brought to you by friends in low places.
Yeah.
Or low friends in just reasonable places.
No. Old friends, which is us.
Okay.
New Places, which is the show.
Oh my gosh.
This is a brand new show. Welcome to the Beehive. It is brand new, meaning like this is the first one. We're live. We are streaming live right now. This is as real as it gets, my friend.
Honestly, this is the pinnacle of my life. Today, right now, as soon as this show ends, which is the very first show, I'm on a downslope, okay? So just know for the next hour, 2 hours, however long this takes, you're watching the pinnacle of one man's life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just going to be watching the demise from here on out. It's kind of actually a little morbid when you think about
it. Can I just say you've been on a downslope for quite a while?
Well, no, I know. But then I have a blip back up to my pinnacle, which is today. So everybody should be celebrating that. Again, the downside is then it's a steep descent. That's when we find the friends in low places.
Ladies and gentlemen, put the camera on me, Weston. Put the camera on me. They want to see me up close. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beehive. You can go to thebeehive.com. You can sign up. It's free. It's free to sign up for this show. Very soon there will be an Apple TV app. There'll be an Amazon Prime app. There'll be an Xbox app. I don't know if that's true.
It's all true.
There will definitely be a Roku app. There'll be an iOS, Android app for this show. You can check it out. Go to thebeehive.com. And now, let's beehive. Are looking a live on a Monday, February 22nd, 2021. Boy, are you alive. Boy, is it Monday. My name is Clint Betts.
My name is Chris Rawl.
I have a few things I get out of the way, Chris.
Okay.
Right out the gate.
Lay it on your old friend, son.
Let me get my notes out. Today is George Washington's birthday.
I thought that the notes were going to be how to make small talk. Like, Chris, what did you do over the weekend? And I had to answer. I had to pull up my notes and I go, well, thank you for asking, Clinton. I had a grand time. I did a lot of things. But instead, you're actually coming prepared with stats. George Washington's birthday, the founding father.
So it's George Washington's birthday, but that's not nearly as important as it's also Kelly Jensen's mom's birthday. Kelly Jensen, who is a member of the Beehive team.
Yes.
Her mother.
Her name is Sherry Jensen. She's a valued member of the team by virtue of the person who's on the team.
Sherry Jensen, we just want to say happy birthday to you.
We don't care about George Washington.
We don't care about George Washington. I don't care about George Washington whatsoever.
I care
about Sherry Jensen.
George Washington wore
it
a strange
wig. It is her birthday. Sherry Jensen was born on this day. Pause. George Washington was also born on this day. That's how we should talk about this day.
Second part, we boo.
You're looking alive.
I am. It's good to be back in the saddle.
This is a new show. It's new. It's all new. You go to thebeehive.com. You can check it out. It's a lot of things going on. How are you? You excited for your week?
Okay, finally we get to what I want to talk about today.
How are you?
I'm doing good. As I said, it's the pinnacle of my life. I'm feeling vibrant. I'm feeling happy. I know that the demise is imminent, but I don't care because I'm in a good groove right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to ride it while it lasts. And once the show overs, we'll deal with the crash later.
Can I just say you don't look good?
Yeah, I don't. If I'm honest, I don't feel great. I'm kind of putting on a brave face for the first show.
You don't look that good!
the problem is I got to come on the show and I hear about all these great things going on in everyone else's lives. Like, oh, it's a great birthday for Sherry. It's a great birthday for George Washington. Oh, we got a big app. This is happening, this and this. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, I'm just trying to suppress these voices inside me that are like, yeah, you're not doing good, pal. Things and if this not. Is the pinnacle, you didn't live a good life.
Yeah, it's not going well for you.
No.
But welcome to the Beehive. In all seriousness, we're so excited for people to be watching this.
We are, actually.
Did you like how I said in all seriousness? In all seriousness, we're really happy everyone's
Look,
here.
In our past shows, we might joke around. This show, we're dead serious.
I know sometimes we joke and chuckle. But in all seriousness, we're so excited to have everyone here.
When we want to bring it back full circle to the life lesson of the podcast, we go, in all seriousness, we're mm-hmm. pretty pleased that you guys are here. So yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Go to thebeehive.com, sign up if you want. You can watch it anywhere.
I'll watch it.
Anywhere. You can watch it at thebeehive.com. All right. So what we like to talk about on this show is a lot of various things. There's a lot of various segments on this show. And you're going to get comfortable with it. Those who are watching this every day, they're going to get comfortable with it. You see what I'm doing here? See how I'm going like this?
Yeah, exercise. That's you're like, doing jazzercise.
You're going to get comfortable okay. with what's going on here. But we start every show with the news. And now, Today in the Beehive. So, right now in the state of Utah, we're in the middle of a legislative session.
Boo! I just want to be the peanut gallery for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to applaud that? Is that what is that? What does that mean?
I don't think you need to applaud it, really.
So, real quick, you need to remember who you're talking to, okay? Because while I might have a little bit of knowledge in some areas, when it comes to legislation and the government, I have negative knowledge. Mm-hmm. So, when you say, oh, everybody, we're in a legislative session, I don't fully comprehend what that means. What that means in my mind is there's maybe a couple days a year that the state Senate and state House of Representatives, whatever that's called, mm-hmm. they get together, they chum it up for a while. They say, oh, you want to pass a sweet bill that's going to make everybody mad and they're going to write all these angry articles. Mm-hmm. They pass it. Then they go home. Is that what a state legislative session
is?
What does it mean?
I believe it's about 45 days, 45 business days.
45 days. So that's significantly more than a session. A yeah, session, that's something small.
They call it the session, and it's where, you're exactly right, the Democrats, the Republicans, from the House and the Senate, they get together in a bipartisan fashion, and they decide our future for that year. Kind of like a groundhog.
Okay. Groundhog Day. All right, now I get what you're saying. When you talk groundhogs, yeah. I understand
so
what's going on.
You're an idiot, and so think of it in the terms of groundhogs.
Well, I am an idiot, but if we got a bunch of groundhogs together for each legislative session, mm-hmm. and they just pop their head up and they go, do you think we should vote on this bill to increase tax spending? 10 groundhogs up, 4 groundhogs low, we go, yeah, we're okay with taxes, it seems like. On to the next one. Mm-hmm. Legislative session now becomes 1 hour max. Groundhogs, badass again. We already have a day dedicated to them. We don't have a day dedicated to any legislative sessions. Not one.
Would the groundhog ever pop his head up and say, no more taxes? Because the people who determine it are these legislators, and they're going to be like, yeah, we want more taxes.
Well, I do have...
So they determine what the groundhog says. The groundhog doesn't actually say anything.
My main theory is that no matter who you are, if you get stuck into the legislative machine, you just become the stereotypical politician. So there's a pretty good chance we go, we've come up with the greatest idea. It's going to be groundhog legislation within a session. We're going to go out to the groundhog holes. They pop up, and they're the same. Now, sir, if you understand the meaning of the word tax, and then we go, okay, we're back at square one. Let's just go back to the humans. Who cares?
Groundhog gets its monocle out. Okay, everybody. Have you guys ever heard of the flat tax?
Hear, 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 hear. All the groundhogs just freaking out. I hate groundhogs. I take it back.
All right, so what we're here to do is to rage against that machine.
Ooh.
You get stuck in that machinery and it starts holding you back. We're here to rage against it. So I'm going to give you a quick update.
Okay.
On what's been going on in legislative session. It's been going on for a while.
Like 20 days? I need specifics. You can't just throw out these generalities.
It's been going on for a while. Okay. It's been going on for quite some time. All right. Here's a big one that's being debated recently. And I got this recap from KSL.com.
Okay.
I just want to give them a shout out. They're keep up the great work. Don't you think?
If we got a bunch of groundhogs to run KSL.com, mm-hmm. how do you think that would compare to present day? Let's say we find a groundhog editor, a groundhog reporter. We send him out on the scene. We go get to the bottom of this legislative session. Groundhog shows up, got the notepad, got the recorder. Hey there, House Representative. You're trying to raise taxes on the farmers of Utah. What do you have to say to this? Do you think that would be a better production than current KSL?
No, I think KSL's doing a mighty good job.
Okay, I like
I think
this.
They're doing a mighty fine job. I really do. My hat's off to them. I would take my hat off, but it would take my earphones off too. All right, first thing, big debate on the House floor. It's a bill that would more than double subsidies for films that shoot in the Beehive State.
Okay.
So this has sparked a passionate debate, about the popular television series Yellowstone and whether the entertainment industry deserves special incentives.
Well, obviously, I think they should always deserve special incentives. I don't think they should pay a dime because I cater towards film. Okay. I'm a white collar man. So when somebody comes into the state, they go, "We're from Hollywood." I go, "All right, do what you want. Do whatever you want with our state. Leave a bunch of trash, pollute it. I don't care." The people who are going, "Oh, we need double the money from these people," those people are better than us. They're from Hollywood. Okay.
They are from Hollywood. And in particular, Yellowstone, the star of Yellowstone, is Kevin Costner, and he is an attractive man. I would say he's hot as heck, which is about as intense as I get. He is as hot as heck.
I don't think you should have said hot, but yeah, okay.
So the bill is SB 167. Let me dumb that down for you. Senate Bill 167. It would increase the maximum tax credit the governor's Office of Economic Development can award to a motion picture during a year from $6.7 million to $15 million.
So when it says it's a passionate debate about this, what are they referring to? Who is getting their hackles up about how many subsidies we're trying to get from people who come and film the state? Because honestly, if you came to me and you said, of all the problems that you feel right now, Chris, there's this one that's really sparking a lot of passion, and it's how much we can charge incentive or as a tax incentive. Oh, okay. It's
how much are we going to give them?
How much are we going to give them? Okay, even better. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care what we give anybody.
Yeah. Well, this story isn't for you, then. Because that's what the whole story is about.
If you put a groundhog in my chair right now who's listening to this story, they would care more than I currently care. That's all I'm going to say.
Bill's sponsor, Senator Ronald Winterton, he's a Republican from Roosevelt, told the Senate he looked into running the bill when the Paramount Network series starring the hot as heck Kevin Costner,
his words, not ours,
stopped filming in Utah last year and moved to Montana due to tax incentives. Now, here's what's fascinating. I've seen Yellowstone. I hate the show. I love Kevin Costner. It's a fascinating dynamic. It really is. So everything about Yellowstone, I would love. Horses. Sometimes you'll see a bison or two.
Ooh.
You'll see cattle. You'll see these hot cowboys just going out there and like lassoing, right? The storyline leaves something to be desired.
Like,
it really does.
Like, give me a quick example of a storyline.
Kevin Costner's grandson gets kidnapped by other cowboys who want some of Kevin Costner's land.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that.
Like, eh, well, I don't care.
I think Yellowstone should embrace
the... Do what you want.
They should embrace the National Geographic nature of the setting and just show exactly what you said. You don't even need a plot line. Mm-hmm. If you just have the beauty that comes with all the things you mentioned, you got bison and hot cowboys running around, you just film. You turn that baby on and you film for an hour and you can it out there. You say, here's an episode. Now, Utah, give me double the tax incentives.
But the fascinating thing is Yellowstone, the show, is based in Montana. It has nothing to do with Utah.
Well, it's just...
But it's been shot in Utah for two seasons and then it left. And now we're trying to get it back, according to Ronald Winterton. Again, he's a Republican from Roosevelt. Do you love how news does that? They're like, here's where he's from. Here's his party.
I do love that. I wonder how these people, the representatives themselves, how do they come up with the bills? Because in my mind, they're sitting at home for there's 40 days that they're in the session, correct? Mm-hmm. And the rest of the time, they're just sitting around at home. They don't have jobs. They don't do things on their own. So they're sitting in their house. They're going, man, I got to come up with a pretty sick bill that'll really wow people and get me into one of these news stories. And so you have 320 days to come up with something that's really going to catch the eye of people. And instead, every time we get to a session, the main talking points are something like this. This guy's had 320 days to brainstorm. Mm-hmm. If you gave me 320 days to brainstorm, I would come up with the sickest bills.
This is exactly what I'd come up with. I'm like, you guys know this hot.
So I look at this hot cowboy, and I was thinking about incentivizing more hot cowboys.
Why are all the hot cowboys in Utah? Why are we losing the hot cowboys to Montana?
I had a little tweak. It's HB 123. It's not House Bill. It's Hot Cowboy Bill, because that's what I've been thinking about for 20 days.
This is what Winterson said. He said, this is money that left our state and went to Montana.
I love the idea of all of our money just getting a bunch of legs and arms. They're like, peace out. You guys suck. You brainstorm and this is the best you come up with. We're packing our bags and moving to Montana. Frankly, so real quick, I love the state of Utah. I think it's a great state. I've lived here for 25 years.
You kiss up.
I can't fault money for packing their bags and heading to Montana. Montana is a badass state, okay? There is natural beauty beyond all belief. And there's all these ranchers that you're talking about. We don't have the best hot ranchers in Utah.
I don't, yeah, I mean.
Like, our hot ranchers are Spencer Cox. No offense to the governor of Utah. He's not that hot. He's just a rancher. Montana, they're like, they got the calluses. Mm. They know how to tie the correct knot. They can swoop it around a bull's horns and take them down and tie up their feet. All the good stuff. Utah, we're not that. Utah, we like grow. Spencer Cox, he grows a few tomatoes, which is hot in its own right. You know, if you see somebody eat an especially juicy tomato, that'll get the blood boiling.
Just gets all over their chest.
They show up to the Senate chambers and there's tomato juice all over.
That's cool.
I mean, that's a pretty good house.
If you're a hot rancher, we want to hear from you in Utah. I think we should have a calendar. January through December, hot rancher calendar. One of them will have to be Spencer Cox eating a tomato.
If you are a state representative in Utah who is willing to eat a particularly ripe and juicy tomato for a calendar photo shoot for the Beehive, reach out to us as well.
Yeah, just... You can find us. So not everyone is convinced that we need Yellowstone, the TV show, to be filmed in Utah for our state to be successful, to be viewed as prominent.
Wow, hot take.
So his name is someone who's not convinced is Senator Lincoln Fillmore. He's a Republican from South Jordan.
That's a hell of a political name.
He contended that the industry doesn't bring that large of a return on investment into Utah's economy. And he asked this question, Chris. Why is this industry special enough that the taxpayers need to fund 20% of the industry's operating expenses?
Now we're getting into my favorite debate, which is any politician can always grab anything on earth and go, well, why do we think the great taxpayers of this state should have to fund some of the bill? And we all go, we don't care. We don't care where our taxes go. Give them to anybody. Give them to a bunch of groundhogs. Give them to Montana. Have them pack their bags and go to Montana. Give them to Kevin Costner. I don't care where my tax money goes. When it's gone, it's gone. Okay.
I would love to give money to Kevin.
I don't need anybody to get up on their pedestal or pulpit or whatever you want to call it and go, now we're just worried that Chris's tax dollars, they're going to fund 20% of Hollywood's efforts. Go. Great. Go ahead. Give mine to Brad Pitt. I want it to go to Brad Pitt.
Listen.
Or Leo.
No. For me, it's Casey. I'm Casey all the way.
Who's Casey?
Kevin Costner. Oh, my gosh. It's Casey. Give my tax dollars to Casey. All right, that's a good question. Why is this industry special enough that taxpayers need 20% of the industry's operating expenses? Who knows? Who cares? Let's move on. Here's another one that's being debated. This is House Bill 188. Okay, and here's the question. Here's what's being debated. They get in their suits. They get their glasses on.
Tomatoes.
They get their tomatoes on. And they debate the big issues of the day.
Yes.
And in this session, they're debating this question. Does Utah need a state stone?
Yes. Yes. Hell yes. Okay. Finally, something I am knowledgeable about. Okay. So my main theory about politicians is they'll always trip over their feet at every single turn. And so in order to combat this, they know that they're not going to do well. Mm-hmm. They're going to go, oh, let's talk about Hollywood and taxes. And everybody goes, give it a break. Just stop talking to me about it. However, the only area that it's possible for them to not trip over their own feet is when they say, this is the official state blank of Utah, okay? Mm-hmm. And so now we have 40-some-odd things. Funny you should bring that up, because I've been doing a little research, and in a different segment of the show, we're going to start going over some of these, and we're going to hold their feet to the fire. Good. We're going to say, hey, is this the state thing, and should it be the state thing? So when I hear, oh, we're talking about having a state stone, of course we should have a state stone. Utah is built on stone, dude. Think of how many great stones there are in this state.
Utah is built on stone.
I've been saying it since I moved here 25 years ago. I walked into this state, a young 10-year-old, just a young entrepreneur. I had my bags packed. I came from Colorado. I walked across the state border and I looked around. I just come from Colorado. There's weed everywhere. Bunch of hippies. And I cross the state border. I come into Utah and I look around. I go, that's granite right there. That's a fossil. That's a lava fossil. And immediately I knew I was in a state built on stone.
Solid as a rock.
Solid as a rock, which that actually was stolen from our state. That was our original slogan, okay?
Solid as a rock.
So it's cool that these politicians are identifying that. And honestly, this is going to be pretty hard because sometimes you go, well, we just have like one or two stones to choose between. Utah, we are founded on stone.
No, they're proposing a stone. I'll tell you exactly what it is.
I know, but they have to whittle down such a huge list that people will inevitably be angry.
What stone do you think they're proposing? Granite?
I'm partial to a nice piece of shale. But that's my own personal opinion. I'm not gonna rake them over the coals if they've chosen differently.
They're going with honeycomb calcite.
That's a whiff. See, that's what I'm talking about. You go through all the great stones, dude. You could get like a nice polished stone off the bottom of Utah Lake. And you go, the dinosaurs, they played with this stone. They tossed it around as a little catch between father Brontosaurus and baby Brontosaurus. This piece of stone.
I don't care about dinosaurs. Why do people like dinosaurs?
They're
obsessed with them.
Well, I don't like dinosaurs, but I like the connection to history. I'm a historical man, okay?
Even that I don't like.
Look, when I see a stone, I always think...
History started at man. Okay?
Well, man started before dinosaurs.
All right, so Utah has an official state cooking pot, which is the Dutch oven, a state grass, which is Indian rice grass, a state firearm, which is a John M. Browning designed M1911 automatic.
Cool. That sounds cool.
I wish that wasn't it. And a state fish, which is the Bonneville cutthroat trout. And so why not a state stone? Best of luck. Representative Christine Watkins is proposing that.
I have a quick question about how that process works, because they're going through every possible bill during the session, right? So correct me if I'm wrong, they bring the bail out and the sponsor like kind of says what it is and then everybody
just
debates
a performance.
About it. It's a performance. Think of it as a nice musical, like Wicked. Yeah. Watching Wicked down at the local theater.
A one man Wicked.
One man or one woman Wicked.
Should we have a honeycomb concert as our stone? I don't know. I don't know.
Yes, we should. Yes, we should.
Should we have a honeycomb castle as a stone? Stuff like that.
I love politics, and that's what it is.
I don't know. I don't know. What else could it be?
If politics were politicians choosing the play or musical they had to perform in front of the entire chamber, and we all went there, and today they go, okay, State Representative Clint Betts of Spanish Fork, here's the floor, tell us what's going on. And you're like, for today's performance, Les Mis. And you launch into a 4-minute solo
on my own, pretending he's beside me.
And I'm down there grading stuff that I need to debate. I'm like, okay, Hugh Jackman did that much better. Okay. That would be something that not only I would be interested in, but just the population in general.
Well, guys, I think we should give a tax cut to Yellowstone so that they'll come back here. And as a way to convince all of you, I'd like to perform a little number from Les Mis.
Give me a C real fast.
Can you get a C there?
I'm over there.
Can you get a C there, Representative?
Bing! Okay, let's take it from the top, boys.
So, honeycomb calcite is a stone that's mined high in the mountains in Duchesne County, the only place in the world where it is found. That's cool.
No, okay, the stone's cool, but we went past my question. I have an actual question. So they go into the chamber and they debate the bills. In my mind, there's a pretty big gap in the emotionalness, that's not even a word, but the emotionality,
yeah. Emotionality
of what
sure.
people are saying. Because on the one hand, they get there and they have all the quote-unquote important bills. So they go, okay, should we give the death penalty to somebody if they steal? And then everybody's like, oh, no, yes, we should. And others are like, no. And it gets very heated and people are fired up. And then they go, all right, everybody calm down, order in the court. Okay, we got to go on to the next one. We only have 44 days.
Order!
Order! Order!
Order, sir.
And so they go, all right, emotions are still running high in the crowd. And they go, okay, let's go on to the next one. And the next person stands up and they go, so Utah's a state founded on stone. I think we should have a new state stone. Like, that's a very jarring transition.
We do even dumber stuff than that. You know that they passed a resolution supporting Donovan Mitchell over Shaq because Shaq called out Donovan Mitchell and said he's not a superstar. They passed the in this session. They did that.
What do you mean?
They took the time to do that.
They wait,
they're like,
what?
We support Donovan Mitchell. Shaq said something. Who knows what Shaq says? Who
so if I support Shaq over Donovan Mitchell and Utah breaking the law, is that what that means? Yeah. I get what it means.
If you have a Shaq jersey now in Utah, you're gone.
Like, what are the... I pull up a YouTube highlight of, like, Shaq jamming on Orlando back in the mid-90s, and the cops show up. They're like, can we take a quick look at your computer? I'm all, officer, that's not my search history. They're like, no, we don't care about the Pornhub tab. What's this YouTube thing? I'm like, oh, yeah, I was looking up Shaq highlights. They go, well, that's a week in the slammer.
See ya.
If you watch a long, like if I watched a whole game, you know, Shaq on the Magic against the Rockets in the NBA Finals in the mid-90s, and I watched the entire broadcast, that's a whole month.
They said, Donovan Mitchell is a superstar. Screw you, Shaq. That's our legislature.
So if I support Donovan Mitchell, then that means the law is like on my side. Maybe I got a little leeway elsewhere.
And you hate his time in the with the Magic. Him and Penny. Ooh, that's a good Space Jam team. Sure.
They won no titles. That's all I'm saying.
Space Jam. No. What's the NBA Jam? NBA Jam. If you had Penny and Shaq, you're balling out on NBA Jam. All right. Next one. Lawmakers have $1.5 billion in extra money.
Okay. So this is great. So we can give more to Hollywood. This is what I'm talking Here's about. The problem solved. What are we talking about?
Here's what I hate about this. And this is going to be a little bit of a rant from Clint Betts here. Old Papa Clint Betts. Uncle Betts.
I just
if you want to call me.
That introduction was worse than if you're introducing your musical on the Senate floors.
Uncle Betts has something to say. It says, lawmakers have $1.5 billion in extra money. They don't have That's our money.
Yeah.
And how do you just find out? How do they not know how much money they have?
Well, I'll defend them a little bit. Budgeting's hard, especially when you're getting money in from a lot of different sources. So they get taxes from every single person in Utah, and they have all these other programs where stuff's popping up. We're getting this, this is going in, this is going out. That's a pretty vast undertaking. So it's not shocking to me that they crunch the numbers that, I mean, that's a lot of numbers going in, and they get to the end of it, they're going, okay, this is perfect. We can give $3 million to Kevin Costner and his hot cowboy outfit. We can give this to that. We can give $100,000 to get more shale imported in the state because our stones are baller. And then they get to the end. They go, oh, my gosh. There's extra zeros. How many extra zeros? Oh, we have $1.5 extra billion dollars. People get mad at that. Okay. Like I hear Uncle Betts over there getting on a rant and then he goes, how does this happen?
I don't like how they say lawmakers have $1.5 billion in extra money. No, we do. The people. Have $1.5 billion more in extra money. This is what House Budget Chairman Brad Last, a good man. I know him well. Good friend of mine. He lives down there in Hurricane, and he works for Dixie State University. This is what Brad said, a good man. He said, all in all, it's been a very good year for us. Well, guess what, Brad? Sir, if I may. If I may, you're a good man, and you live down there in Hurricane, and I really like you.
Let me preface this by saying he's a great man. I just want to say that. But, sir...
This has not been a good year for you. It's been a good year for the people of Utah.
I thought it was a bad year.
No, it's been a great year for us.
2020 or 2021?
Yeah, congrats.
Oh, thank you.
Little did you know.
So maybe my peak really hasn't been reached. If we're taking my peak as a combination of the greater Utah population, which I am a cog in the machine.
Yeah, I consider you a cog.
Thank you. So things are still trending upwards for me. That's great news. When I hear that lawmakers are us, I don't care. You're a semantics guy. Oh, we got to say that the people have $1.5 billion. I don't care. Somebody has it. And I hear about it. And I go, this is a blessing. You know, I'm not mad that we have $1.5 billion extra dollars. Whoever it may be, I'm happy. Because now, do you know who's going to come up with some sweet ideas on how to spend $1.5 billion? These politicians who we've already discussed their way sweet ideas.
You're like the pioneers back in the day when they saw a bunch of crickets on the ground. And they're like, what are we going to do? And then they see all these seagulls come down and eat the crickets. And like, this is a blessing. I don't care who eats these crickets as long as it's not me.
No, I'm like the pioneers who they go, what are we going to do? I wonder if the seagulls are going to come and eat these crickets. And I go, What if we take these crickets, we mash them up, we make them into a protein bar? We sell that protein bar in 150 years. We make a bunch of money. People are going to love the business in this state. That's what I am.
They don't like sight seagulls anymore, do they?
Look, the $1.5 billion is like if you said, hey, let's just go and give Comedy Central $1.5 billion. It's more of a comedic undertaking than anything because we know without a doubt.
That Comedy Central's give, not funny.
Well, okay. No. Well, so name something funny. What's something that you like?
TikTok.
So let's say we give $1.5 billion to TikTok. Mm-hmm. We know that it's going to create more comedy. Yeah. It's the same concept with politicians. We're essentially paying for comedic relief, which again, mm-hmm. I'm fine if my tax dollars are going to comedic relief. Mm-hmm. Oh, it goes to fill in a pothole on I-15. I don't care. If I hit that pothole and die, so be it. That's just mm-hmm. how life works. Okay. If I pay $1.5 billion and then I get a nice belly chuckle every day because you come on the show and you go, Chris, let me tell you this little KSL article. So the state representatives, they just invested $100,000 in a stage set for Wicked the musical that they're going to be performing at the Senate chamber. I don't even know what's going on. That's what I want my tax dollars going towards.
I love how a pothole would kill you.
You don't know how I drive, dude.
So now let's get to the main story. That's your little recap, legislative recap for you. Okay, now let's hear from the people. What are the people doing? All those lawmakers up there, the powerful people, the people who are in charge, telling us what to do, debating the big issues, they're all in one Capitol building, okay? And so the people have an opportunity to make their voice heard. And so what do they do? There is a young man. His name is Nick Huey. Of Taylorsville.
That's a good name for a man.
He organized an event yesterday, Sunday. Okay. And I'm just going to read it to you. This is the Deseret News. I don't know how else to do it.
Why are you so flustered by what young Mr. Huey's doing?
This is fascinating. There wasn't much snow in the Utah skies on Sunday, but hundreds of little snowmen made their way to the grounds at the state capitol.
What?
It was all part of a plea to save the endangered species. The
dinosaurs.
Snow.
Oh, okay.
The demonstration aims to encourage lawmakers, Republican and Democrat, state and local, to demand a price on carbon. This is what Nick Huey of Taylorsville said. The snow people claim carbon pricing is the fastest and most effective way to curb climate change. He's speaking on behalf of the snow men and women that he just rolled up in a ball.
This is sweet.
He had more than 50 volunteers turn out to create at least 500 snowmen and snowwomen.
500!
Using snow that was already on the property.
Why do they make that distinction? Like, we would have been more offended if they'd shipped in extra snow. Like, they took snow from Springville, Utah, and that's Springville snow!
We need to do something about climate change, Nick says. And it doesn't have to be that we launch ourselves into the dark ages and never use our cars. He said lawmakers should set the rules and let the market respond with new innovations that could lead to less pollution and cleaner air. Some of the cleverly and quickly crafted snowmen held messages, including snow people for carbon pricing, but they smelled snow people, S-N-O-W-P-P-L, the number 4, carbon without an O, pricing.
I mean, let's just spell it all the way, please.
And then the next one, yeah, I mean, are the snow people, they don't...
Are they that illiterate, or are they just like the new texting teens? Oh, IRL.
The next one's Mr. Mitt Romney. And they said, R-O-M-N-E-E, if you price carbon, we will vote for you forever.
Well, that's valid. I would give my ballot to a snow person, first of all. If they asked for it, I would give it to them. Here's what I want to say real quick before you continue. If these people who are creating the snow people really wanted to take responsibility for their snow tribe, and they say, we want this to represent the whole state of Utah, okay? I hear we went up to Salt Lake City, we rolled a bunch of Salt Lake City snow, and we made snow people who can't spell very well to try to force these legislators into voting about carbon pricing. Here's what I want them to do. Wherever all the people are coming from, they go, okay, I got to build a snowman wherever I'm from. So let's say I'm from Fairview. Okay, I got to make a snowman in Fairview on Sunday, yesterday, okay? I make my big snowman, and I go, look, first of all, we're going to have a quick lesson, an hour-long lesson. This is Webster's Dictionary. We're going to go over just some key spellings, how grammar works, just a real quick lesson, okay? Just so when they get up there, they don't beef on themselves and do all these strange sayings, right? So now they're educated. They go, all right, I'm ready to go protest. And I go, okay, we're going to have to get you up to the Capitol because we want representation of snow from all across the state to show how important this issue is, okay?
We don't need snow people from liberal Salt Lake City
just a bunch
telling the snow people of Fairview what to do.
A bunch of snow people sipping on wine.
Eating my frappe cappuccino. I would really like if anybody would be okay with
a bunch of snow people eating red iguana. Oh, if you had the number 14, oh. I want them from all across the state. And here's why it would be good. It would teach the people who are creating the snow people, it would teach them responsibility and understanding of like, hey, it's on you too. Because when you make a snow person in Fairview and you got to get it to downtown Salt Lake, that's a problem.
An endeavor.
First of all, you got to go, okay, we got to keep the car really cold. So now you're putting ice in the back.
I don't like that you're putting in there. Why didn't you put it in a trailer?
Okay, you could do a trailer. Well, I personally have a Mazda.
You
I don't have right a trailer. I'm saying if
you
I
put
were
it
doing
right there in the passenger seat in your Mazda. All right, little buddy.
No, you get a baby. First of all, you get a baby seat. It's against the rules to strap a snowman into an adult's seatbelt. Okay, you get a baby seat. You strap him in. You go. We got to keep you cold till you get up there, and then you can come unglued on Romney. You'll spell his name right. You'll go, okay, Mr. Romney, just wanted to let you know, if you take our side on this issue, you got a snowman's vote for life, sir.
I like this Nick Huey character. What he's done is really fun here. Here's another paragraph. The sun was shining probably a little too brightly Sunday on the new little population of snowmen, whom Huey said are all Utahns, born and rolled here today, and half of them are conservative, so it's a bipartisan group.
See, I don't agree with this. There's no way of understanding that if you just grab the snow from the area. I would understand it better if he goes, we got a snowman here from Logan. That's Jeremiah over there. I mean, that guy traveled from the highest
that
peak.
That guy's a freak. He can't be anywhere near an elementary school. Stay away from him.
That guy's
Jeremiah is a freak show.
That's Jeremiah from Logan. Stay the hell away from him. You don't know what he's capable of doing.
He's not like Lindsay from Salem.
He lives in the backwoods of Logan, Utah. That dude has a rap sheet longer than Mitt Romney's voting record. And then if you go around the room and you introduce everybody, you get a better sense. Because, again, like, there are people in Utah, unfortunately, that have a long rap record that you don't want to be around. Then on the flip side, Lindsay from where did you say she was
Salem,
from?
Salem, yeah.
Lindsay from Salem.
She's nice.
We go over to here. We go.
She's sweet.
Wow, Lindsay's sweet. Oh, she's had a sweet job for 20 years. Yeah. Oh, she's an executive. Oh, she's balling out. Oh, she's got all these great things going on. Lindsay, come over here and tell me about some ideas and stuff. It's just an all-encompassing.
It's all-encompassing.
It's all-encompassing. That's what I want
to
say.
It's liberal snow people trying to get the rest of us to pay their taxes on carbon.
Hey, we have $1.5 billion extra.
Yeah.
And I'm more than willing to give a decent chunk of that to the snow people if they are willing to come from every corner of the state.
Here's my last thought on this, and we're moving on to the next segment, which is all about sports, and it's led by you. Everyone's going to really enjoy it. That's a little tease.
I can't lead snowmen.
That's a tease for you.
But I can lead a discussion on sports.
That's a tease for you. That's what we in the industry call a tease. Doesn't it feel like whenever the people speak up, it's like we treat the legislature as though they're children?
Yes.
We're like, you see this snowman? How cute is this? You should do this. And then who are these legislators that are convinced by this?
Yeah, it works both ways. I guess it's more of a commentary on just political discourse because legislators treat the population like children, and then people treat legislators like children. And that's how we just arrive at a place where it's like, yeah, nothing really happened that anybody wanted, but we have a few liberal snow people.
Well,
here.
And the reverse of it is like the people are like trying to impress our parents. They're like, look at this snowman I built.
Well, that is impressive. Frankly, I'm impressed. It worked on me. I go, how many snow people? 500? Even if they're all from the same area, that's a vast undertaking there, pal.
All right, let's talk sports. Enough of this snowman. Here's No Baller.
So, Clint, you're very well aware that the Utah Jazz are playing very good basketball. Best record in the league as of now, 24-6. They got a game against Charlotte tonight. People are getting fired up, and for good reason. Jazz, very fun team to watch. Fantastic ball movement. They're playing the traditional defense they've been playing for years with Rudy Gobert. It's a great thing to turn on the TV every night, be able to watch the Jazz play basketball. Most of the time they're winning, but more importantly, it's just a fun experience, okay? So, me, person who loves sports, I'm doing this, you know? I'm watching the Jazz, and I'm getting excited because of the things I just described. They're good, they're fun, okay? Here's the problem.
I'm with you so far.
Do you have any thoughts so far?
No thoughts on my end.
The problem is I've noticed an alarming trend, okay? Which is the further this season has gone on, and the better the Jazz do, the discussion is less about the fun side of the equation, the side that I really like, where I go, let's talk about the Jazz's ball movement. Let's talk about how this is possible. Let's talk about all the people that go into this machine that has just been eviscerating teams. And instead, we have gravitated towards the other side, which is a nonstop conversation about, is this team a contender? Okay. Which we will understand if this team is a contender come playoff time. There's really no need to discuss it in present day. Right? We'll find out when the playoffs begin whether or not they're a contender. Okay? The problem is, once you start indulging this particular discussion point, it becomes the entire discussion. So now I can't have a conversation about this team being fun. Everywhere I go, do you think the Jazz can win a title? Do you think the Jazz can win a title? Every single Jazz game I watch, it becomes a referendum on this idea. Okay, the Jazz just crammed Miami, and let me show you this one play. And this is why they should be able to beat the Lakers, or this is why they could beat the Clippers in the playoff series, or this is why they could beat the Nets. And then they go and they lose to the Clippers on Friday night on ESPN. And the entire discussion, rather than, well, this was an entertaining game. The Jazz were down by a bunch. They battled back in the second half. They took the lead. They ended up falling short in the fourth quarter. Okay, it was an enjoyable product. Let's move on. It's one game in the regular season. Who cares? Instead, the discussion swung back, and then all the talking points came out of the game. Well, this just goes to show you. Yeah, they're sure they're 24-6, but this team, they're going to fall on their face in the playoffs. They can't play against a team with really good wings. Oh, when a team that has a really good small ball lineup, they play against them. Just look how lost they are. Oh, Donovan Mitchell, he can't do this or that. Gobert can't do this or that. It becomes so exhausting, and it turns into my least favorite thing that sports have become, which is we can't ever just enjoy a game. It's very depressing that I'm watching the best Jazz team in over 20 years, okay? And it is incredibly fun basketball. Not like Jazz, so no offense to Jazz teams of the past. Jazz teams of the past, and I'm talking Stockton Malone era Jazz teams, very good at basketball, not the most enjoyable thing to watch. They grind you into nub, they pick and roll you, they're playing games 80 to 74.
Well, I always thought it was cool, like when Hornacek would shoot free throws, he'd wipe his face. I thought that was enjoyable.
You and I have different concepts of what constitutes a fun basketball game.
What a good father.
So, do you know, kids, that that's Hornacek's way of saying hi to his children at home?
Good old Hornacek.
He just lets you know, I'm coming home tonight.
Actually, speaking of that real fast, wouldn't it be way intense if Hornacek, he would wipe his face every time he'd shoot a free throw, let his kids know, like, I'm okay, I love you, I'm coming home tonight. Wouldn't it be badass if at one point, Hornacek, he's there, he gets ready to shoot a free throw, doesn't wipe his face, and his kids are just, like, shattered. Oh, dad's not coming home tonight. The whole game, he attempts 10 free throws, doesn't wave his face once. He goes off, he moves in with some 20-year-old he met online, he's just like, screw you, family. I warned you on air. You knew this was coming. You can't act like this is some sort of surprise. So back to what I'm talking about. Here's why this bums me out. It bums me out for two reasons. Number one, I don't like that analysis, which is the thing that I value when it comes to sports, gets pushed to the side in favor of just the random takery that kind of now sports and actually all discussions are about, whether that's politics, news, all that kind of stuff. But it really bothers me in sports because sports seems to me like the one area where it's the easiest to just go, we don't have to make takes. This will be settled at some point. So in the meantime, let's analyze, okay, the Jazz Clippers game from Friday night, let's analyze it. Let's analyze why maybe the Jazz struggled a little bit more than they normally do against this style of defense. Let's analyze, okay, what does it mean when the Jazz have to play against really good wing players? How do they defend Kawhi Leonard? How do they defend Paul George? How do they defend LeBron James? That kind of stuff. How is that different from the normal way they defend, which is not really catered towards defending that style of player? There's like a lot of analysis that can come out of the game. And instead, it's just these continual depressing discussions that are the same. It's everybody ramming their head against their wall over and over and over and over at the expense of analyzing and discussing a team that is very, very, very fun. The second point about this that bums me out. Once you start talking about a team as an actual contender, Okay. And this pertains more to the Jazz fan base as a whole. It's really hard when you engage with that idea to derive the most amount of joy from watching that team play moving forward. So what I mean by this is, it's very easy to just watch a team in a vacuum that's good and go, that was a fun game. And I don't have to ever really think about it or worry about it. And then I move on. When you engage with a team as a contender, you nitpick in a way that devalues that actual watching experience, right? So I watch the Jazz and they can win a game by 20 points. And always, because contender does not equal perfection. You know, you go back to last year, the Lakers win the NBA title. There were many, many areas that if you followed the Lakers throughout the course of the year, oh, why can't they shoot threes better? Is this going to cost them? They're not a real contender. Oh, are they going to be, can they play this style of defense the entire year? Oh, what's going to happen? You're hearing the exact same talking points with the Lakers this year, who everybody agrees is the consensus title favorite, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's going, oh my gosh, that we were shooting threes great at the start of the year, but now we're not. Is this going to, are we going to cave in? And what about Anthony Davis's health? It's fine. It'll, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Mm-hmm. The Lakers at full strength, they seem like they're going to be a good team. The Jazz at full strength seem like they're going to be a good team. The problem is, you engage with that idea, you nitpick to a point of, no matter what happens in the game with the Jazz, I'm always going to be dissatisfied in some way, okay? Which, again, is sad, because this is the funnest team to watch in the last 20 years. And it's also sad, because we will have the answer to that question at some point. So it's a needless thing to be engaging with in our minds. It's like me sitting here and going, I might change jobs in 6 months. Yeah, quick side. Yeah, I might be changing jobs in 6 months. So we shouldn't have launched the show when we did. But let's say I'm sitting here and I'm contemplating, I might be changing my job in 6 months. Oh my gosh. And for every single day, I just am thinking about this and getting swamped by this idea. Oh my gosh, what's it going to be like if I have a new job? What's Clint going to say when he finds out that I've actually been engaging with all of these other employers behind his back and we launched a show and now what are we going to do? It's a pretty big problem. It doesn't make for a fun experience. So what I want the main takeaway of this entire segment to be is just watch the Jazz play in the regular season. Enjoy it. Analyze it. You don't need to get sucked under the current of saying, is this team or is this team not a contender? Is this team a contender or not a contender after every single game? The NBA season, it's very long. Even if it's not, it's fine. There's a playoff at the end. Mm-hmm. You'll play a 7-game series against teams that I mean, you will either lose or you will win. And then we'll go on our way.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should all really enjoy this team. This team's really fun. I have a quick question for you, though. Do you think they can win the title this year? I don't know. That's my question. It's like, can they match up with the Lakers? Like, who wins in a 7-game series against the Lakers? Like,
So this is, I know you're saying this tongue in...
Can we beat the Clippers? Can we not beat the Clippers?
I know you're saying this tongue in cheek, but when you become that person, you turn into this, like, deranged, I'm not even sure if it's a fan, but you just turn this deranged person. Here's a good example. So last night, I'm watching the Clippers-Nets game. Mm-hmm. Very good basketball game between two very good teams, right? Mm-hmm. Enjoyable. They're going back and forth in the fourth, and it's great. And they're cutting between play and one person who's there, because there's nobody in the crowd. It's in Los Angeles. There's one person. They set up a chair underneath one of the hoops, mm-hmm. okay? His name's Steve Ballmer. He co-founded Microsoft.
I know him well. You don't need to tell me about old Stevie boy. I know old Stevie quite well.
You've read many a Steve Ballmer biography, is the main point.
I know Steve well. Hi, Steve. This is our new show.
So they set up a folding chair underneath one of the hoops, and Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, is sitting there in the choop, in the chair, I mean. And the whole fourth quarter is this game is like, pressure's ratcheting up. It's a fantastic back and forth at the very end. It's cutting to Steve Ballmer, and he's deranged. Mm-hmm. He's losing his mind. He's literally kicking his feet up like a kid like this. He can't really see, probably. But he's like doing, you know how in musicals, they'll do that sweet move where they jump up in the air and they tap their feet beneath them in this like diamond shape.
You just asked me if I knew how something happened in a musical.
You probably know the correct term for the old diamond kick, as I call it.
Diamond kick. Okay. The old Diamond Dallas Page move.
The old DDP. So he's there doing that in his chair. He's DDP and he's over there going, oh, blah. At one point, the Nets are shooting in the fourth quarter into his hoop. DeAndre Jordan has a couple free throws. It's a big moment in the game. And Ballmer, who's sitting beneath there, again, there's nobody else there except for Steve Ballmer. He's the only one. He's sitting on a folding chair. He's sitting there and he's going, trying to get DeAndre Jordan to miss. like an insane person. I'm all, do you understand how strange you look right now? And it got me thinking because I was doing a little bit of just talking points for this particular subject. And I honestly was watching this and I went, you know what? I think who people turn into when they go down this path that I've been talking about this whole time, when you just go, is this team a contender? Are they not a contender? My team's got to be a contender. Oh my gosh, this is the end of the world. This is crazy. You turn into Steve Ballmer. You're sitting at home. You're Diamond Dallas Paging on your couch. You're trying to clap to make a team miss a free throw. You look like an insane person.
I am guilty of this.
Well,
I do this all the time.
At certain points in time, all of us are guilty. I'm not apart from this discussion, but I'm trying to get better at, you know what? I will find out whether or not this team is a contender. In the meantime, I greatly enjoy watching this team play football or basketball or hockey or whatever it is. I'm going to enjoy this. And then if push comes to shove and we're in the playoffs time, then the emotions are going to run high. I'm going to turn into Steve Ballmer and it's really going to hurt when they lose.
Man, I love Steve Ballmer. He's so cool. What a cool guy. I really do think he's way cool.
The last point I actually want you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy to.
To have an agreement on air with me. That's the last thing I want to say.
Okay, I'm happy to do it.
I need you to make a promise that for the next 2 months, 3 months actually probably, we can't have a discussion about whether or not the Jazz are contender until the playoffs are going and they're actually... Okay.
I refuse.
All right.
And here's why.
Okay.
We need the Jazz, which is why last night's game that you just mentioned was important. You got to root for the Nets. If you're a Jazz fan, you got to root for the Nets.
Yes.
We need the Utah Jazz to get the number one seed in the Western Conference because we don't want to play both LA teams.
Yes.
We only want to play one in the Western Conference Finals. We're definitely getting the Western Conference Finals. That's a foregone conclusion. If we don't, catastrophic season. This team was totally not worth watching. Okay. But if we get first place in the West, then we only have to play the Lakers or Clippers, whichever one comes out of that in the 2-3 seat. So I'm not going to stop.
See, but that's a good point. You described two different things. On the one hand, I do agree. If you're a Jazz fan, you go, okay, we're going to get invested in these Clippers and Lakers games. We want them to lose. We want them to stay in the 2-3 spot so they would play in the second round.
I was so happy when they had said Anthony Davis was hurt. I was like, hell, screw that guy.
But getting invested in that and following that and analyzing that is very different from the other thing that you said, which is I'm going to talk every day about how do the Jazz match up against the Clippers and the Lakers and could they beat the Nets in a series and all that kind of stuff. That's where we get sucked underneath the water. That's where we become Steve Ballmers. And then we're just DDPing across the table at one another.
It doesn't help your case that you could become Steve Ballmer. Steve Ballmer is so cool. That guy is crazy.
That guy
got pumped up when they like launched a Windows 95 update.
I've been talking about my peak this entire show. That's when Steve Ballmer peaked. He was wearing the most 90s possible attire, and they launch a Windows update. They're like, we got a little patch. It means, you know, you can connect to the internet in 10 minutes instead of 11. And he's out there on stage just pumping and jumping up and diamond kicking. And I'm like, that guy likes what he's doing. I'm into that. The problem is you fast forward 35 years and he's got a basketball team and he's doing even stranger stuff. And I'm like, your heart's going to explode and I'm going to feel bad that I made fun of you here and there. And then you die and everybody goes, isn't that the guy that you were like always talking about? He's kind of a weirdo. And I go, no, there's no record of that. Don't talk about that.
Here's how we'll end this. Let your Steve Ballmer out.
Okay, that's fine.
If you can get to that level of anything in life, get to it.
Channel your emotion. Let out your Steve emotion. Ballmer.
Let it out. Now, I know a lot of people watch this show of like, hey, I wonder what's going on in the weather world.
Everybody who watches like this show thinks that.
Or, hey, I wonder if it's okay to drive right now or not. We have a traffic and weather segment because, of course, we have a traffic and weather segment.
You guys, we have some wonderful weather.
Oh,
all
my,
across the state.
Oh my gosh.
Kelly's here! We've got to introduce Kelly, first
of
all. She thought
gosh.
She could just get away with like, oh, let's just go right to the segment. Oh, no! Kelly! It's your mom's birthday today. What do you
it
have
is.
To say to her?
Happy birthday, Mom.
Is
Kelly!
Your mom watching right now? Is she proud of you?
I
you
hope so.
You think your mom's proud of you?
I think so.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of your mom.
Can I just say, I'm proud of you, I'm proud of your mom, I'm proud of you, I'm proud of myself, I'm proud of everybody. I'm most proud of Kelly's professionality. Kelly comes across the way. She's been over there co-producing. Mm-hmm. She goes, look, I'm a professional weather woman. I know what's going on in the weather world. I'm going to come. I'm going to take a seat. A lot of people, they'd feel the ego. They'd go, I'm going to have to introduce myself and say, oh, this is why I'm good at my job and do this. Kelly sits down. She goes,
straight to it.
She gets straight to the point. She's not dicking around. She goes, listen here. The weather's good. I'm going to talk about it. And then we got to interject on her behalf. That's how egoless she is. It's an amazing trait.
What a team member. Well, first, welcome to the team. This is Kelly's first show as an official weather correspondent. She's also our country music correspondent. All right. Tell us about the weather, Kelly.
Well, the whole state's going to be nice. Like all day.
Oh, my gosh. Just hearing this.
Like golf weather nice.
Just hearing this, you don't even have any idea what that does to my insides. When somebody goes, the weather's good, like golf nice, my insides start flipping around. There's butterflies. My stomach turns over. It actually gets a little nauseous, honestly.
Do you hear this noise?
If you see little stuff dribble out.
Do you see something? Stop that. This is G-rated.
If you see something dribble out of my mouth that's not natural, just know it's about the insides. Because when you tell me that, it gets me very excited.
Well, Chris, there's one place in Utah where it's not so nice.
Dang it. Spanish Fork. The only area that I'm at.
It's called Inner Lakin.
Inner Lakin. Where is Inner Lakin?
Inner Lakin, like I-N-N-E-R.
I-N-T-E-R.
Oh, Interlaken. Inter.
Okay, Inter. Oh, I thought you said Interlaken. I know where Interlaken is.
I don't pronounce it.
Yeah, no. Inner.
Yeah, I know Inter. Yeah,
Inner, I'm like.
Inter. I get Inner, I don't get it. What is that?
Inner.
Inter.
Because I know where Interlaken is. Well, I know it well. I go there all the time. It's one of the places I go in the summer.
What county?
Hold on. When I go there in the summertime, when I got to get away from all the stresses of life, when I'm in Interlaken, I go, hell yeah, this is a great place to be. When I hear Interlaken, I go, oh my gosh, there's an inner part of Interlaken. It's like where the elites go. Like, elite. I'm pretty elite. That's why I go to Interlaken. Mm-hmm. But the elites, they head to Inter, and then they go, open up that back door, and I'm heading to Interlaken.
They're in the innards.
So I'm assuming it's a secret location within Interlaken.
Yeah. Hmm.
So what's going on? Wait, where is this?
Yeah, where is it?
Well, if you had a guess.
When I go
guess?
There, I'm blindfolded. I gotta be honest.
They throw you in the back of a van.
They go, here, put on this blindfold, put you in a van. I go there. Stuff happens to me for a couple days. They toss me back on the side of the road. I'm like, Interlaken's not as good of a destination as I thought.
Interlaken sounds like it's northeast.
I'm gonna say
is that right?
I'm gonna say it's just west. It's hard west.
It's Wasatch County.
What? Here's the problem. I don't know where any counties are. At first, I was thinking Wasatch County.
So
like
is that northeast?
At first, I heard Wasatch County, and in my mind, I knew where
so
it was.
Northeast, right?
And then I thought, and I went, no, I know where Utah County is. That's about it. Salt Lake County.
Well, it's 18 degrees there.
Yeah.
And partly cloudy.
I mean, that's why I only go there in the summer. If you put a blindfold on and go to Interlaken right now, you're not going to be happy.
No, not at all.
Well, to the fine folks at Interlaken, I feel like you're doing well.
Yeah, you are doing well. I'm glad that Kelly's here to give us... Oh, you have another thing on Interlaken.
I have a fun fact about Interlaken.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The population is 9.
Ooh. So that's what makes the vacation destination so scintillating. Because when you go to a normal place, what's the number one thing you want on vacation? This is not a joke. You go
9 people.
Anywhere I go, I'm in Disneyland, I go, why is there not 9 people here?
The number one thing I want is 9. I want to round it out to 10.
No, anytime you go anywhere on vacation, you go, this is way cool, but I wish there were less people here. You go to Interlaken, you never have that feeling. If anything, you go, wait, I'm only counting 6. Where are the other 3?
Wait, we could really use a 10th, actually.
Wait a second. I'm only counting 6 people. What's going on? They go, oh, Jeremiah, Lindsay, and so-and-so, they're up at the state capitol. Kind of did a little a little snowman protest. Is Interlaken just 9 snowmen?
It's just a community of snowmen.
Can we confirm that that population is actual people? I'm a little bit worried about that.
I can't confirm that, no.
Interlaken. Well, how are you, Interlaken? Is that what we do? Do we say hi?
No, we don't do that, I would say.
Howdy, everyone. We're from Utah County. A few more people than you.
9 snowmen are at home sitting on their couches watching this show just waiting. And they go, that's us! That's us! He said hi!
I want to make the 10th Interlaken resident, so we'll mosey our way up there eventually at some point this year.
Little inside.
Is it up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. North, northeast.
What if we created a snowman, little inside man, little beehive inside man in Inner Lake and feed us the goods? You know, the gossip, like, oh, guess who went into the shed last night? Jeremiah and Lindsay. Guess who came out in the morning? Just Jeremiah. It's actually pretty morbid tale. Holy cow. It's not funny. Inner Lake, it has a dark and twisted past.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, first of all, Kelly, thank you for bringing your professionalism to this segment. It was appreciated, I would say. Did you appreciate it?
I felt more professional as soon as she showed up, honestly.
Yeah.
I like tried to zip up my thing. I'm like, is my hair looking okay? I just got to be better.
I love the professionalism you brought. Happy birthday once again to your mother.
Her name's Sherry.
Cherbear.
Cherbear.
You can call her Cherbear.
No, I call her Cherbear. You call her Sherry because you have this formal relationship, but we're pretty informal.
It's because I just became a professional like 10 seconds ago.
Me and Cherbear. Cherbear, happy birthday. Now we're going to go to a segment that a lot of people know and love. We're bringing it back. It's Why Though?
So people, I hope, are very familiar with this segment, Clint, because for a long time, you and I, we had a show. Its name was Why Though, where we attempted to answer the great unanswerable truths in life. Mm-hmm. But we failed miserably on most occasions, okay? Mm-hmm. But we tried, and that's what's important.
We got canceled.
We got canceled. We took a month off. We said, here's a good idea. We make a show. We hide our show within the show. People who cancel us, they won't know. They won't know what happened.
We've been canceled, and we're trying to come back.
Well, we've been canceled a lot, but, you know, you can always rise. That's what the Phoenix has taught us, no matter what's happened. So why, though? We did this for a very long time. And over the course of our stint is Why Though, we started a tradition, okay, that's actually tied into Kelly Jensen, our weather woman. Mm-hmm. Every Monday, Kelly would send us a country music song. Mm-hmm. You would read the lyrics on air. I would dissect them. Me, the academic. I'd put on my monocle and I'd go, let's see what this means. And we'd have a nice academic discussion about country music. So today, the launch of the Beehive Show with the show within the show. Why though? Mm-hmm. Because it's Monday. We are going to be doing that very segment. So for Country Music Monday, we have Kelly Jensen still here as our country music correspondent. We have you here as the dramatic rendition reader of the country music lyrics. Mm-hmm. So I turn it back over to you guys. What is the country music song for today?
Kelly, tell us who we're reading today.
So this is Michael Peterson. He was kind of like a one-hit wonder in the 90s.
That's every country music star ever. That doesn't discern between anybody.
His name's Michael Peterson, and the title of the song is Drink, Swear, Steal, and Lie. Drink, Swear, Steal, and Lie.
So that's a good title so far for a country music song because it touches on every single possible cliche that we can touch on in country music.
You ready? Michael Peterson, a hottie? Kelly? Is he a hottie?
In his early days.
Sounds like he's a hottie. Sounds like he's doing well.
Sounds like Kelly's convinced he's an attractive man, a one-hit wonder. He is doing well, as you can see in the background behind Clint.
Oh, there he is.
That
hey,
is an attractive man. He's no Kevin Costner, but he's up. He's pretty high up on the grading scale.
Good for him. He looks like he's doing well. All right. Drink, Swear, Steal, and Lie, Michael Peterson. Here we go. This is how the song starts. I was 12 when Daddy said to me, don't take to drinking, boy. That road don't lead nowhere.
Okay. The dad sounds like a responsible adult, which we very rarely have in a country music song. Usually they're going, here's my dad. He gave me my first beer at 12. His daddy goes, listen, it's not going to be good for you if you go down this path, dude. Little Anheuser-Busch in your hand every night, sitting on the porch, swearing, stealing, lying. No, hell no.
And don't you ever let me hear you swear.
Why are you doing the voice? You got to do it in your normal voice. That's too distracting.
Don't you dare. He told me that stealing's a lazy man's way. Something for nothing leaves you hell to pay, so don't buy it.
So I really like the don't lie.
The voice?
Or the don't steal, sorry. I really like the don't steal. The don't swear one, that one is strange to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a finite amount of things you can teach a 12-year-old. So you're really trying to hammer home like one or two things. So most people, they're trying to go to the main things. They go, listen here, young Clint Betts. Don't
tell a lot of 12-year-old things.
Yeah. Oh,
you teach a lot of 12-year-olds.
I go around. I'm actually kind of renowned as like an inspirational speaker for 12-year-olds because I understand the concept. You can
have a lot of experience teaching 12-year-olds.
You can only pound home one concept to a 12-year-old brain. They're not there to take in 300 moral lessons. So you choose one. Mm. I always go around to the grade schools here in the county every day. Without fail, I show up at 2 o'clock right before the bell goes, and I go, gather around, everybody.
Everybody take a knee.
Everybody take a knee. You guys are all 12, right? Okay, perfect. This is just for you. Don't kill anybody when you grow up. And they all go, don't kill anybody. And you know what happens in 10 years from now? Nobody's dying from murder. That's because true. I have taken it upon me to teach these young, enterprising lads, if this is the one thing you remember, don't murder people.
Mm.
When you hear adult stories, they always refer back to these childhood lessons. We're hearing it within the song. He goes, when I was 12, my daddy said this and this and this and this. You're going to hear when you have these people at age 25 and 35, they'll go, oh, I'm a successful businessman and I started this great business and it's going well and I'm rich. But I kind of think back to this inspirational speaker. He showed up unannounced at my grade school. You know, he didn't check in at the front office. He actually was illegally on school grounds. But he came into our classroom and he goes, don't murder anybody. And I took that to heart. And I've never murdered anybody. And that's what enabled me to be such a great businessman that I am.
And then you can look the whole world in the eye. Honey, I've tried. But since I met you, girl, I've been breaking every rule. I must confess, I'm just a backsliding fool.
So, first of all, the dad speech. I don't love the idea that you have to go around to every person in the world and answer for all of your sins or the things that you did well. You can do whatever you want. It's super fine, right? All you do is you sit there and you go, I didn't do this great today, but I'll just keep it to myself. And I did something good today. I'll keep that to myself. I don't want to go around and say, Clint, tomorrow I show up and I go, Clint, you know what? I just got to get something off my chest. I don't feel like I did great on the show yesterday, and it's really been weighing down on me. I don't got to answer to other people.
Okay, you would like that.
So I don't like the dad's making him feel like he's got to go around for his entire adult life and answer for anything that he did to people.
Yeah.
I also, this proves my theory completely correct. Because the singer of the song, what's his name again? Michael Ray Richardson?
Oh, Michael Ray Richardson is not even close. It's Michael Peterson.
Michael Peterson. He's proving my theory 100% correct. Which is his dad sat him down. He made a concerted effort and he goes, 12-year-old Michael Ray Richardson, Michael Peterson, whatever your name is, I'm going to teach you these 8 things and you got to do them or else you're screwed in life. And the 12-year-old sitting there, his brain just goes, oh, I can't remember 8 things. Now we're hearing adult Michael and he's talking to some unnamed woman, which is just common in a country song. And he goes, listen, I got to get off my chest. I'm like, morally speaking, I'm not doing great. And it's because his dad tried to teach him too many things.
Well, he continues here.
Okay, so he is doing morally great.
So he says, I want to drink from your loving cup. What do you think that means?
Could you say that with a straight face to a person and not have them just leave? Like, let's say even I knew someone well. Like, I'd been on 100 dates.
Okay.
And I'm going, things are going well. I'm asking her to kiss. You know, 101st date. I got a strict rule. And I'm like, okay, working up the courage. I got the butterflies. I go, hey there, ma'am. Could I perhaps have a sip from your loving cup? How do you think she would react?
Oh, that's even more gross.
Kelly, how
a
do you,
sip?
I want Kelly's take on that. How would you react if on a 101st date somebody came up to you and they go, hey, Kelly, do you mind if I take a drink from your loving cup?
I would immediately leave you and go home.
Mm. Yeah, that confirms what I think. Which I find to be strange within country music. There's always these lines that are thrown out that are supposed to be these hard-hitting, romantic home runs. You know, like, I want to drink from your loving cup. But then you say them out loud, and you go, you told a woman you want to drink from her loving cup?
It's weird. When you said sip, though, it was even weirder.
Why couldn't I just be like, can I just have a quick kiss? Not even on the mouth.
Why did you say sip, though? You said sip and it freaked me out.
Well, I don't gulp. I'm a.
All right, I want to drink from your loving cup. Swear I'll never give you up. Steal all your kisses underneath the moon. I want to lie here close to you. Look at what you made me do.
So now he's blaming her or what his did, dad? What What's
did
he blaming?
What did
That's
she...
dark. That's pretty dark stuff. I'm not even joking.
What did she make him do?
Even by country music standards, that's dark. He's over there. He's like, look what you made me do. She's like, Yeah, you got a drink from my loving cup, dude.
Take a sip.
He's like, I didn't want to say that, and I didn't want to drink. I'm not even thirsty. I come well hydrated to these dates. That's why I have to urinate so much. I got to keep excusing myself from the table.
Darling, you're the reason why I drink, swear, steal, and lie.
Huh. I mean, classic case of a 12-year-old who was not taught well. He does all the things he wasn't supposed to do because his brain was too small to comprehend him in the moment. And then as an adult, he blames all of his foibles onto the person who he's supposed to love. A classic country music song. Unwilling to take responsibility for his actions. I want to drink from your loving cup. Oh, look what you made me do. You made me drink from your loving cup. Well, we don't know where that idea originated, Michael, okay?
Last night, I threw away the 12-step book. I finally faced the fact that I am hooked on you.
The 12-step book. I don't understand.
On you.
Are you talking to me or is he talking to the unnamed woman who we know literally nothing about?
There's nothing more I can do. Ain't no use. Because every time I see your angel face, my halo disappears without a trace. I swear.
Man, the angel stuff's bad. Holy shit. That's so bad.
Girl, I'd admit I haven't got a prayer, but I don't care.
I like the prayer tying it. Okay. Man.
I know this ain't exactly how I was raised, but heaven help me, honey. I ain't changing my ways.
What's this idea of stealing kisses? Where does it come from?
I don't know.
It's not a genuine place.
It sounds rude.
It is rude. Why can't he just have a normal relationship with a person where they're both going, look, I'm into you and you're into me and we kissed and that was great. We were both into this. This idea that he's like, I'm tricking this woman into liking me because I'm actually a scoundrel. Well, if you're a scoundrel, you should be up front with her. You should say, listen, ma'am, I just want to let you know, like, I'm not a good person to be with. And I'm going to try to steal kisses from you. And you should know that. And because you know that, now you should probably leave.
If I'm ever in a relationship with a woman, which is unlikely, and I say, hey, we're in a good relationship and everything's great and we kiss and that's great, I would be so freaked out. Imagine saying that to a woman.
What if the basis of whether or not my relationship is going good is if I'm having, is if I'm kissing every once in a while?
All right, this is how it ends. I want to drink from your loving cup, swear I'll never give you up, steal all your kisses underneath the moon. I want to lie here close to you, look at what you made me do. Darling, you're the reason why I drink, swear, steal, and lie.
I don't like this song. It touched a nerve in me that is hard to describe. First and foremost, we need to be better educating 12-year-olds, a cause I'm very passionate about. Honestly, if we could introduce maybe a House bill or a Senate bill, maybe I'll contact my local representative and get in their ear. I go, hey, things need to change how we educate 12-year-olds, okay? It touched a nerve there. It touched a nerve when it comes to relationships and how they're discussed, especially in country music. I'm trying to steal a kiss. I want to drink from your loving cup, all that kind of stuff. No, that's got to go. That's it. Maybe that's the number one thing we teach our 12-year-olds. We go, here's the number one thing. Gather around, kids. The number one thing you need to know. Never say loving cup. That's it. Now go. The bells. Go about your day. Have fun.
Kelly, what do you think of Michael Peterson? Did he ever do anything other than that?
No. That was it.
Pretty simple. Kelly did as much research as possible on Michael Peterson. She did 30 minutes.
That
and she's
it.
Like, look, I scoured Wikipedia, AZ lyrics. I did everything. I went down a rabbit hole. He didn't do one other thing.
This song didn't even pull up on most lyric websites.
That's actually impressive.
To give you an idea.
Can we confirm that this is a song?
Can we confirm that he's a person?
Can we confirm that this is not just poetry from the heart?
Michael, give us a call. Michael, call in. In fact, there's a way for people to participate in the show, which we're going to get to right now. We have a segment that's all about you, the people. Okay? Those watching, not you. Not you, Chris.
That was amazing. I love that you're saying the people. It's just a power move, pointing right at the camera.
This is, put it right on me, Weston, so that they can see. This is an important
message. Look how serious you are.
This is an important message. You can be involved in this show. It's called Dear Utah. So, like I said, if you have a question or comment about Utah, you want to talk about Utah, this is your segment. This is the people's segment, okay? Just like the Congress says, like, this is the people's house. This is the people's segment.
Exactly. Congress sits at home and they brainstorm for their own means. Mm-hmm. You know, they're selfish. People at home, normal people, they sit home, they brainstorm for the Dear Utah segment. They go, I live in Utah. Yeah, I got some stuff that I want to talk about. Oh, they haven't discussed this in the show. Maybe I'll see this. Oh, this is going on in my life, and I'm in Utah, and I want to talk about this. They can reach out to Dear Utah. It's a segment for the people. We're not legislators. We're about the people, Clint.
We want to get your take on Utah, and we want your voice to be heard by the legislators. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what this segment is.
This has nothing to do with
I didn't realize it until you said it, but now I understand.
This has nothing to do with legislator. All right. If you have a question or comment about Utah, email us at dearutah@thebeehive.com. Leave us a voicemail at 385-344-8011. You can text us at 1-720-704-4863. We'll put all this out. We'll put it all out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone's at home. Oh,
wait, was that 4863 there at the end?
Now, hold on. Don't chastise the people who are studious at home.
No,
and they're
I'm
taking
chastising
notes.
Us. Okay. In particular, you.
I like the people who are at home and they're hearing that and they go, oh, I got my notepad out. I've been taking notes on what Chris is saying. Teach the 12-year-olds better, this and that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, number 801. Okay. Those are the people that we really want to be reaching out on behalf of the show.
Yeah, that's fair. Or you can contact us, which is what most of you will likely do, on any of our social media accounts at the Beehive HQ. We're the Beehive HQ everywhere using the hashtag Dear Utah. Kelly is still with us. Kelly, set up our Dear Utah for today.
Okay, we've got an email from a listener, and she says, I've recently decided to start dating after being in a 20-year marriage and divorced for 2 years. Where do I begin? I need the basics.
Well, I got a lot of thoughts, but Chris, I'll let you start, and then I'll fill in from there, because you're lonely.
So the Deseret News is going to hate what I'm about to say. Because the Deseret News, they are a fine institution in this state, you know, a pillar of truth and reporting and all that kind of stuff. However, the Deseret News has a very hard to find take on whether you should be married or whether you should be single, okay? They like people to be married when you're single, which is my case. They're not super pleased, and they continually write.
You don't need to qualify that.
They continually.
People can see you.
Okay, sorry. That was a redundancy. That combined with the visual is a redundancy. That combined with the voice is a redundancy. Literally anything combined with it is a redundancy. So I'm single, and the Deseret News, they write a lot of articles. They go, hey, we got this study, and Chris Rawl, you're not doing too well because you're single. So I hear this email, you know, married for 20 years, single for 2 years, divorced. Now I'm ready to get back into the game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you this. Don't get back into the game. Ooh. That's my take for today.
Interesting.
Here's what you do. You sit at home and you go, oh, I think that I should be dating, going out and meeting people. But in actuality, now that I'm single, look at all this time I got. I can pick up hobbies. Mm. I can get ripped. I can read a bunch of books. Mm. I can go and play golf all day. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can settle down for the Nets Clippers game. Oh, I can live bet it. I'm placing a bet on the second quarter. Oh, let's do a halftime wager on the total. You have unlimited time.
All that feels very specific to you.
I'm speaking in generalities. That's not specific to me. That's just, I'm just pulling things out of a hat like a magician, okay? So you sit down, you go, oh, now that I've had a little time alone, I'm going to go into my room. I better stop on that one.
What?
Let me stress this. You're still alone.
I have some advice. I'm going to take the opposite. There is nothing in this world greater than giving yourself to someone. And if you can give yourself to someone, then you should. And so get out there. Have some, like, first of all, you're worth it. You matter.
Oh, wow.
You're great. She's great.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
No, okay. Not you.
Okay.
Let me be clear. You're not worth it. You don't matter.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I'm back in my place.
get out there, right? Don't you think? If she's interested in companionship, relationships, okay. Get out there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess I should have prefaced what I was about to say. You just define what you want. If you want to date people, you should. If you don't want to date people, you don't. The main point is, I think people always feel pressured because they go, ooh, I'm single and what am I going to, oh no, I got to go and start dating or be in a relationship. I go the opposite where I go, you need to take that as a period of reflection and you go, you know what I don't want to be? Sitting around watching Netflix for 10 hours a day with somebody else when I actually want to be in my room alone. Little alone time.
Watching Netflix?
Watching Netflix for 8 hours. But the main point is you can control what you're watching. You know, as a duo, as I call them. I don't call them couples. I call them duos. I go, oh, what should we watch? And there's an hour-long thing.
Oh, look at that. They're a cute duo.
See that duo kiss over there? Wow.
Oh, what a duo they make.
Ooh, look at that. They're drinking from the loving cup. Look at that.
Kelly, what do you think here? Where does a young woman go these days?
Yeah, where does a young woman go?
To find
true love.
To find love, to find a relationship. Is it Bumble? Is it Tinder? Where is it?
Is it the streets? Is it just Main Street of your local town?
It's the streets. No, I think...
It's the streets!
I end this show. I head on out onto Main Street. I'm just looking around. I can't wait to meet all the sexy singles of Salem, Utah.
I think the easiest is online. Okay. Bumble, Tinder.
Chat rooms.
AOL chat rooms.
Chat rooms. MSN chat rooms.
It's all about the technology. Mm. You know, you get on, you put yourself out there.
Well, that's the easiest way.
Yeah, it's the easy. Oh, right? Yeah. No, I agree with you.
You don't have to do anything. You don't have to get ready.
I don't like that. I like the getting ready part of it. You know, when I'm getting ready for a sick date, I just value, without a shadow of a doubt, I value the time that I prepare.
You put gel in your hair?
I gel up. I squirt out a little perfume right on the neck, right on the throat, where if things go well, she's going to be drinking from. Go ahead, baby. Drink from the loving cup.
Get in there, gargle.
Me just tapping the JCPenney cologne I got. Go ahead. Give that baby a sip. See how that floats your boat. That's hot cocoa flavor, miss.
In all seriousness, I know we've had a few chuckles.
Oh, let me just bring it back to the seriousness.
Get out there. If you want.
If you want to.
If you want to, you do it. If you don't want to, you don't have to. And just know that you're worth it and that you matter. Don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. That's fair.
Would you say that?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, just do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. Just that's the main takeaway. That'll probably be the main takeaway of every segment that we do in Dear Utah. That's where I will always personally arrive. If you want to do that, you should definitely do that. Yeah. If you don't want to do it, you shouldn't do it. The main point is just go and do what you want.
Something I want to say also is I love you.
Thank you. I love you too. I don't think this is an appropriate forum for that, but... I mean, we can do that in private. That's crazy that you're going to try to end the show like that. Is that what the new show is? A confession of love on air? What does that even mean? The end of the show happens and I'm like, I love you too. I love you, Kelly. I love you, Wes. I love everybody. What do I say?
All right. This is The Beehive. You can go to thebeehive.com and check us out. You can sign up. It's free to sign up for this. There's a lot of updates coming. This is the first episode of the show. Signing off for Chris Rawl, Kelly Jensen, and Weston Tanner. My name is Clint Betts, and this has been another episode of The Beehive.